Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. The
score! This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The C6 still stays in place. And out of the C6, we'll continue to operate our tours. We'll put our player retirement plans and assets there. So that stays in place. I think it's very important. One of the things that's important to both of us is every single week we're playing tournaments, we're making a huge impact on the communities where, you know, we're invited guests. That continues. And at the C6 level, you take the assets of the PGA Tour, the PIF's assets and live and with the Asian Tour and the DP World Tour, take all those commercial assets, drop them down into that for-profit LLC.
Great. So that's some of the business minutia of one of the great backstabbing sellouts of all time. Everybody got used, including PGA players, including protesters. Everybody got used in a long-form negotiation by the PGA. Here to talk about that on what I think is kind of a dark day for golf is David Dusek of Golf Week. And he has been a frequent guest of ours. We're happy to have him on this busy day on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. David, thanks. I mean, what the hell, man? Did you see this coming? Did anybody see it coming?
Did we lose David?
We got you.
Did the Cylons get David?
Yeah, I think we might have.
David, you there?
No, I guess not. So we will try to.
He doesn't want to answer these questions either.
We will try to reestablish contact with David as we get the chance. We got him now. David, we got you?
I was just looking forward to a nice, quiet Tuesday, you know? And no, we didn't see this coming. We were focused on all the action at Memorial last week. We're focused on Jack Nicklaus and Rory McIlroy, and we got a little, you know, Scottie Scheffler coming in there and a great tournament. And 48 hours later, the world of men's professional golf has completely been turned upside down by this. And I think that there were probably less than a dozen people in the world that knew that this was going to happen. And they played it very, very close to the vest. Usually we get a little inkling or we get a feel that something's going to take place like this. I mean, this is really big news, and to keep really big news quiet to this level is unfortunately impressive. But no, it's basically everybody who was yelling at everybody else for being anti-competitive, for being on the wrong side of moral arguments, for being greedy. Everybody is now hugging over a great big Brinks truck of money.
And on the other side of it, The people who were yelling about Monopoly, it's a Monopoly, and they went and joined the Monopoly.
Yeah, I mean, the Monopoly thing to me never held water because players were free to leave the PGA Tour if they wanted and to join LIV. There were consequences to that. And players who signed on with LIV knew that. The agents who guided them for a fee to those tours knew that. So people who wanted to join, who were offered opportunities, were able to take it. So if that's the case, how could it be anti-competitive and monopolistic? But you're right. Now it's, you could argue, I don't know what the other tour is or the other entity on this global stage that would be on the outside of this new monopoly, but you've got the DP World Tour, which is essentially the old European tour. So they run events throughout Asia, Europe, Africa, Australia. You've got the PGA Tour, which does a sprinkling of global stuff, but primarily is the United States. This week, I ironically got the Canadian Open. They'll run a couple of events in the Caribbean and Mexico. And now you've got LIV, which has had a world tour, but where they're essentially only playing like once a month or so. They're all joining into one. And so, yeah, that sounds pretty like a monopoly to me, huh?
Is it going to be 72 holes? Are we going to have the silly, stupid team names?
We don't know. A lot of this stuff, like right now, I think that what we do know is that changes are obviously afoot, that a lot of the different parties that were at war with each other, are all the legal stuff has now fallen away. Like all that stuff is gone. The litigation on the part of the PGA Tour against LIV and the public investment fund, that's gone. And the countersuits, the public investment fund and PIF and the Saudi government suing the PGA Tour, that's gone. The format for exactly how the golf will be played is a little bit yet to be determined. We do know, it sounds like, that players who were suspended by the PGA Tour, who relinquished their membership to the PGA Tour to join LIV, they will be allowed a roadmap essentially to rejoin in a reasonably quick amount of fashion, I would imagine, to rejoin the PGA Tour. So right now, technically, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, Brooks Koepka, they are not PGA Tour members. I would be shocked if all four of them were not PGA Tour members a year from right now, and they will be playing in PGA Tour events. I would suspect they'll be playing LIV Tour events, whatever that sort of morphs into. But it sounds like the team element of that stuff, again, this is so early, will still be around somehow, and that players will be able to bop back and forth between the tours.
How does PGA leadership go about trying to fix this with the rank and file in that stayed in the PGA and carried the banner for the PGA while giving up an opportunity at big money?
Yeah, how do you look Rory in the eye?
How do they square that circle?
I don't know how Jay Monahan looks at Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and about a half a dozen other guys. John Rahm is in that conversation. Max Homa is in that conversation. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. How you look at them and say, this ends up being a good deal for us. We're doing the right thing. You should be on board with this, because that is about as disingenuous. Either he was not being truthful for the last year plus, or he wouldn't be truthful in that conversation. You can't have it both ways. I was given, like other members of the media, a 3-page release this morning. It was emailed at 10 o'clock on the dot. Nowhere in this does it say anything about human rights violations. Nowhere in this does it talk about morality and where the money from, you know, for LIV golf events comes from. It doesn't go over into any of that stuff. And for all the people that stood by the PGA Tour, who I'm sure if, and I'm just taking this as an example, if Jordan Spieth had wanted to join LIV, there would have been a fat 8-9-figure check waiting for Jordan Spieth, and he didn't. And Rory McIlroy and all these other guys.
And we know that they basically offered Tiger $1 billion and he said no.
It was just enormous amounts of money. And they all said no. And now essentially what you're going to do is say, yeah, you know what? The guys who did take the money, they're going to be able to sit there and keep it. They're, you know, the Mickelson evidently, you know, was reported around $200 million. Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau north of $100 million. They're going to be able to keep that. They've played in their major championships, which I personally don't think, I don't have a problem with guys who had qualified for tournaments to be able to play in tournaments they had qualified for. To me, that was fine. The world ranking issue that I've talked with you guys about, that's going to go away because they're going to be able to play in regular PGA Tour events. They're going to be able to play DP World Tour events. They'll be able to play majors. That whole thing is now by the wayside. And yeah, it's basically LIV wins. The public investment fund and the Saudi government win. and how Jay Monahan tries to spin this. He was asked about this on CNBC when he did an interview earlier today with the announcement. Mm-hmm. And boy, did he dodge that question like I would have dodged Mike Singletary back in the day on a crossing route. I mean, he just wanted nothing to do with that. And they are going to dance around that. And they're going to say, we're not talking, we're all looking forward. Let's look where we are. We're going to be 5 or 10 years from now. And they want nothing to do with those questions.
Because he works for the Saudis now. And they all do, whether they like it or not. And I'm curious, how does it make you feel as a fan of the game, as someone who plays, for someone for whom golf is important to you? And I was just talking to Lawrence about the first hour of our show. I was talking about what it's meant about with my son and still with my dad and what just being on the golf course can mean. I know I'll get over it, but it doesn't. It just feels kind of gross now.
Well, so my son Charlie's graduating from high school a week from tomorrow, and he's going off to college. And you know, you pass along these like little tidbits of dad wisdom that you try and I got plenty from my dad, and one of the ones that I will not be able to pass on to him is that good people, can't be bought. That basically what the realization, whether I want to really stand up for it or not, is that pretty much now you can be assured everybody, damn near everybody, has a price. We know Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour got their price, and they were saying one thing, but eventually what came out was that Monahan and the head of basically the public investment fund and LIV played golf in London a couple weeks ago, and they hashed it out and they worked up a deal. And as he goes off and starts his journey and what he wants to do, just understanding that a lot of times, like, making the morally right call is great. And you can listen to people talk about that kind of stuff until they're blue in the face. And then they go to the bank and cash the check. And that's disappointing.
I'm glad you said that. We had Jason's high school graduation party on Sunday. And, we're already talking about, he's like, how am I to get my clubs to school? Because I want to make sure I can play. And it's like, it's only $300 if you want to go for unlimited. I'm like, fine, whatever. But to me, it's all about these lessons from the youngest ages of repair your ball mark, repair your divot. Don't step on someone's line. If there's an extra stroke,
look somebody in the eye
and shake their hand. Yes. And if you took an extra stroke, you self-report, you sign your scorecard. And I know a lot of that stuff people find cheesy and elitist and quaint, but there was a structure to it and an idea of taking care of the course and taking care of others and the way you carried yourself that made golf really nice for a parental relationship.
It's not something. So Rory McIlroy is playing. I don't know if he's still in. I haven't even checked to see if maybe he even withdrew because he's probably so disgusted with this. He's the defending champion at the Canadian Open this week. And next week we'll be in Los Angeles for the US Open. And you get this news today, and how Rory isn't absolutely reaching through the phone and choking Jay Monahan right now, I don't know. He has got to be so disgusted. And I think just fatigued and just mentally and emotionally probably wiped out by hearing this. He'll say all the right things. In as far as he is not going to say if he plays poorly this week or at the US Open that this news and this announcement had anything to do with that. But he's human. This has been something that he has been the leader of. And I don't know if he's going to win the US Open or not. I have no idea. But the talk of this tournament coming up, the third of our four major championships this year, going to Los Angeles, glitz, glamour, all that kind of stuff. LA Country Club is an amazing track. The story is now going to be this news dump here about the DP World Tour, the PGA Tour, and PIF forming a now still not yet named new entity to, and I have to hold down the vomit every time, to grow the game, please. So it's going to be crazy.
Have you gotten any indications from fans on how they feel about this, if it matters to them at all?
So social media can be a really tricky area to sort of gauge it. You know, this, I avoid, I'll be honest, you know, on days like this, I come back 48 hours later when like the real rabble is sort of left. Randall Chamblee at Golf Channel is going to be taking a hell of a beating today on social. If I were him, I would throw my phone into the river. I wouldn't even look at the thing because he's going to get. I think that the average fan breaks down into a couple different categories. There are a lot of fans that don't know and don't care. My father-in-law, he loves golf. He every once in a while will ask me, like, what is this live thing all about? Like, why isn't Brooks Koepka playing this week? And I sort of give the explanation of what's going on. And then there's some fans who are now aware of it because they're used to looking and seeing, you know, where's Bubba Watson? Where is Phil Mickelson? Why can't I see, you know, Ian Poulter playing this week, you know, when they're playing at Bay Hill? And they sort of understand how that goes and they've sort of followed. And then you get the people who are really staunchly supportive, frankly, of LIV Golf and everything that it stands for. In their mind, it has always been about what it means to be an independent contractor, to being able to be your own boss, to being able to take money from this. And they don't have a problem with where the money comes from. Their point of view is that, look, if I'm talent, I should be able to go and take my talent wherever I choose. And that's their side of the argument. I think that most people fall into one of those three categories. And now, you know, a year from now, it'll all be the same and all that'll go away. You know, what I'll be fascinated to see is what's going to be the interaction of the players. If there's going to be a level of smugness, you know, at the US Open or at the British Open, when some of these guys are walking around and, you know, they're looking in their wallets and they're seeing those tens and hundreds of millions of dollars from LIV and looking at the other guys and thinking to themselves, like, he was a sucker. He could have taken the money. Here we are a year later. Yeah, you know what? There were a couple awkward press conferences I did. Yeah, I caught a little bit of flack from here and there. But you know what? 18 months later, I've got my PGA Tour card back. I'm back to winning ranking points. And my accountant is telling me that me and anybody related to me is never going to have to work a day in our lives. And it was worth it.
Yeah, I think of Harold Varner. Wasn't Harold Varner the one who said, look, I had to take this money?
Yep.
And he said, look at where I am relative to the tour. Look at the number of tournaments in which I'm competitive. Look at where my age. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the more honest players.
Oh, yeah.
and just said, look, yeah, I took the money.
Yeah. And there are certain players that are looked at, I think, in a much better light by the PGA Tour players that are out there. It was at the PGA Championship in Rochester a couple weeks ago. Nobody's begrudging or angry at Brooks Koepka. Really, you know, I didn't see Dustin Johnson all that much, a little bit, but I don't hear guys like, you know, ripping Dustin Johnson on the range or in the locker room or anything like that. Everybody's always liked Harold. Gets along with everybody. There's nothing, I've played golf with the guy. There's nothing not to like about Harold Varner. And people will get that one. Where it got personal, where the barbs went back and forth, Patrick Reed, to some degree, Phil Mickelson, certainly recently has been strutting around and stuff like that. Those relationships, you know, time can heal a lot of wounds, but it's going to take a while. So that's what I'm going to be looking at, is that, like, what happens if Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy are paired in some, you know, for example, at Riviera next year, because Reed gets his world ranking points and he gets his stuff back. And all of a sudden, like, those are going to be the weird ones. Eventually things sort of settle to wherever they're going to settle. But some of those relationships may be irreparable at this point.
David, this is great. Appreciate it much. I know you got a lot of people pulling you in a lot of directions today. Good luck to Charlie, by the way. Where is he going to school?
He will be a raging down there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at LSU.
Oh.
So all of a sudden, I've got to pay attention to SEC football. Like, I actually know what the hell I'm talking about.
Go Tigers!
Roll Tide. But the Rose Zhang coverage was fantastic, David. And that's the type of story that we should be talking about.
She is special. Yep.
Agreed. Thank you for joining us, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you soon.
That's David Dusek, good friend of the show from Golf Week. Next up, Craig Calcaterra,
he's a friend of the show.
Fits that description. We'll talk baseball with us on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score. Craig Calcaterra, filling you in on all things Major League Baseball.
At some point, Rob Manfred is going to have his BS detector out and figure out what deals are legit, being Trey Turner for 11 years, maybe, what aren't, paying Aaron Judge when he's 45.
Writer of the Cup of Coffee newsletter.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Craig Calcaterra with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
If you're not already starting your day with the Cup of Coffee newsletter via Craig Calcaterra on Substack, you are missing out, and you are an underinformed and under-entertained baseball fan. So let's talk some baseball with Craig. He is on Twitter at Craig Calcaterra. He joins us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's with us on Twitch at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hey, Craig, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Dan?
Good. You're coming to town.
I am. I'm heading to Chicago on Saturday. I'm going to check out the Sox on Sunday. But my whole point of being there is my son is going to go see King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard for three straight days at the Salt Shed. So I'm the escort.
Our producer, Adam Studzinski, is seeing them as well. Layla Rahimi did not believe me. She thought I made up King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. I said, no, they're real. They exist.
It sounds like something like Calvin would come up with on Calvin and Hobbes or whatever. It's like Hamster Huey and the Gooey Kablooey, yes, or something. They're real. They're actually good. I like them. I've listened to a little bit at my son's insistence, and they're kind of a jam band, kind of a jazz rock band, kind of a thrash band. They do a little bit of everything, and they do it all pretty well.
Craig, why is the Diamond Sports story not a bigger story?
Because it's still a local story for most places, I think. If you're in New York, the Yes Network is still along and humming. If you're in Boston, NESN or whatever they use up there is fine. The cable collapse for sports through the Bally's networks is still sort of just happening in a few places. And it really hasn't gained critical mass among fans. But it really truly is going to usher in a new era, I think, in sports broadcasting. Slowly but surely, Major League Baseball is going to take... retake the broadcast rights for various teams. You're going to see it in Arizona. You're going to see it in San Diego, where it began already. You might see it in Detroit. You'll see it in Cleveland and Cincinnati. And eventually the league's going to be basically in charge of broadcasting half the games. You're going to see the same thing in hockey and basketball. It's going to be a huge deal. It just hasn't really hit critical mass yet.
And I know we tend to think that MLB is nefarious, or at least sort of myopic or dunderheaded in its endeavors. Could this end up being good for fans as far as actually being able to consume the baseball that they want?
I think eventually it will be better. I really do. I am one of the biggest critics of Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball, but I really do think that they would like to get over the whole blackout cable world and everything that we've been dealing with for so long, and to a new product, which is, hey, I want to watch every White Sox game this year. I'm going to subscribe to something just to get that, or for whatever other team. It's going to take a long time to get there, though, because you have contracts. You have this financial dependence that teams have on the cable bundle and on getting those rights and getting the channel sold for an inflated price, because the people who are watching CNN or Fox News all the time are actually underwriting your sports cable network, even though a few relative few people are watching it. It's an untenable situation, but there hasn't been an easy way out. If anything, these bankruptcies that are going on with Bally's and Diamond and everything else might jumpstart us into a new future, but it's still going to take a long time to get there.
Speaking of untenable situations, the Oakland A's. What's the latest? Because now I feel like I just saw a something flash on the bottom line saying that they're in jeopardy in Las Vegas again.
Yeah, there's a bit of a political power play going on. The background here is that to get their stadium in Las Vegas, the Nevada legislature, along with Clark County and Las Vegas governments, have to pass this package to get the stadium done. Unlike a lot of places, people in Illinois might not know about this. People where I live don't know about this. The Nevada legislature meets once every 2 years for like a month or two. It's not a full-time job. These people are not there all year in the capital, Carson City or wherever they are, doing that sort of thing. So the session right now, the current session that's not going to revisit itself for another 2 years, is about ready to end. And the head of the legislature, I don't know if he's the speaker, whoever it is there, said, no, we don't have a deal. We're not going to do one. We're just going to have to wait. That doesn't mean that the A's are not going to get a stadium. The governor of Nevada, Joseph Lombardo, staked his political reputation on this. Obviously, the A's and Major League Baseball have a lot in on this. There will probably be some weird special session where the state will claw back money from the A's and make the deal not quite as good for them. Ultimately, I think this deal gets done. Ultimately, it's going to look like a worse deal for the Oakland A's, the Las Vegas A's, than it would have been if they stayed up in California.
Did you see this Texas Rangers offense coming at any point, or the Rangers in general? Marcus Semien has a 24-game hitting streak right now. And every time I look up, you know, I saw they won 4-3 yesterday. Usually it feels like it's 11-2 or it's 11-5. It's pretty incredible what they've done so far.
Yeah, they've got, like, I think 16 games so far this year. I think they've played 59. They have 16 games where they've scored 10 or more runs. No, I had no idea. I mean, there are obviously parts there. You know, you've got Semien, you've got
Seager.
Yeah. You've got Seager. Adolis Garcia has always been a very good hitter, but he certainly started the year well. You're getting amazing performances from a lot of players that we wouldn't think about much, like the catcher, Jonah Heim. Has been hitting a bunch of home runs of late. I had no idea that they were going to gel like this, especially, you know, when you look Jacob DeGrom's out, you didn't think my buddy Dane Dunning would step up, and Chicago's buddy as well, Dane Dunning, would step up and pitch the way he has. But it's a Bruce Bochy team. I'm not going to say he's made everybody a better hitter or anything like that. But I think Bochy's a smart guy. I think he looked at this team and said, if I'm going to get pulled out of retirement, that's the team I'm going to do it for. He has no percentage whatsoever in tying his wagon to a loser at this point. I imagine him, people around him, people in the Rangers front office certainly saw this coming. It's been a pleasant surprise for everybody else, unless you're in the AL West.
Are you saying that that's why he wasn't the choice for the White Sox? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to say that's why the White Sox weren't the choice for him. Look, you're a future Hall of Fame manager. Why would you go to Chicago? Oh, wait, Tony La Russa is a current Hall of Fame. Never mind. Forget that.
News of the day. Elly De La Cruz called up by the Reds. This prospect is quite something. 6'5", 200, plays multiple infield positions. I heard one scouting report, one description of him as a switch-hitting, more consistent O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah, that's an interesting comp. There's probably a bit of a physical comp going on there. O'Neill Cruz is certainly an exciting player before he got injured. But, you know, there was a lot of room for improvement on his hitting there. I'm always a little skeptical of comps like that in scouting. And I will also preface this by saying, I am not a prospects guy. I read the stuff like you do. I'm not Keith Law. I'm not Jonathan Mayo. I'm not one of those guys out there who knows this stuff very well. I do know that the Reds, despite all their losing in the last couple of years, or maybe because of all their losing in the last couple of years, have built that farm system to be pretty good. Most of the products that have come up so far this year, you've had a couple of good pitchers come up. A lot of the preseason organizational rankings have nice things to say about the Reds system. People in Cincinnati are pretty excited about it. So if this guy's going to get O'Neill Cruz comps, I'm going to watch him.
Craig, can we bring you into a philosophical discussion that we've been having?
I hope so. I'll try not to mess it up.
All right, so check it out. Both teams in town, the Cubs and the White Sox, are below 500. They're not good. Like, in neither team, it looks like, is not good, although I give the Cubs a chance at being decent, depending, circumstances depending. But neither one of them is out of the divisional race. With the White Sox, like, they look up and go, hey, sure, we're 9 games under 500, but we're 5.5 games out of first place. Where do you come down on what an organization should do when they are relatively close in the standings, but they're not a good baseball team?
That's a rough question, because I generally am of the school, certainly of late, that, hey, you try to win as many games as you can. And if you got a chance, take your shot, especially with wild cards and things like that. I might have a different answer, though, for the White Sox, because for several years, they were loading up for bear in kind of a half-ass way, and it wasn't working. So then they start this rebuild that they've been on for like 4 or 5 years, and that's sort of in the uncanny valley right now. It's neither built or building. I don't think that, looking at how poor the AL Central is right now, if I'm the White Sox, I think, oh yeah, let's go for it. I look at what is our arc. And our arc for several years has been just not there. We've sort of wasted a window for a lot of players now. The next level of players coming up are maybe a couple of years away. I think you're a seller if you're the White Sox. You don't have much to sell, but I think you should be a seller. I feel much the same way about the Cubs. The Cubs have been a little more coherent about things in the last couple of years, even though they've been frustrating. They're also a better team, I think. If you look at like their run differential and Pythagorean record and everything else, they're a little bit better than 4 or 5 games under 500. Not much better, but a little bit better. I don't think you can go based on what the central divisions in both leagues look like right now and say, oh yeah, now we've got it, we're doing the right thing, because it's just happenstance that these guys aren't double digits out of first place.
Luis Arraez of the Miami Marlins is ranked 20th in baseball in Fangraph's wins above replacement. He's been worth 2 wins above replacement. That's not the stat that jumps out in his line. The one that does is his batting average of .399. And we're all of a certain age. And I remember getting on the bus and going to Dacoma Day Camp in Northbrook every day talking about Rod Carew. Every day. And I remember in 1985 following both George Brett and Cecil Cooper, who are having remarkable years. So part of me, some ancient part of my brain, wants to get excited about the possibility that Luis Arraez could hit 400. What should be the proper context for it?
I think the proper context should be, it's really cool for someone to have a really high batting average. Like so many things in the sabermetric era, I've come sort of full circle. I used to, when I was a kid, like you, I'm like, Rod Carew hit 388. Oh my God, George Brett hit 390. This is fantastic. And we remember those numbers, of course. We remember Wade Boggs hitting 368. We remember these numbers very well because they're interesting. And then you learn a little bit about baseball analysis and sabermetrics, and you're like, well, batting average is not that important. You've got on base percentage and other secondary factors that are far more important than batting average. But in the last few years, I've come to realize that hits are cool. I mean, especially when there are fewer hits now than there ever used to be. Batting averages, guys who lead the league hit 330 now. They don't hit 360 and 370 like Tony Gwynn used to do. I think it's really, really cool. He's excited to watch. I've actually watched a few Marlins games just because of him. That says something at all. I'm going to go to see the White Sox play the Marlins on Sunday. And I'm not going to lie, I'm there more to see him play than almost anyone on the White Sox. I think we should just celebrate it. I think we should think it's cool. It helps right now that he's also doing things like getting on base at a healthy clip. You know, his on-base percentage is going to be very batting average dependent, obviously. He's not going to be a big power hitter. I think he's got like two home runs, maybe one home run this year or something like that. So it's not that kind of a player. We don't have to go over the top and say all hail him. But I think we should enjoy someone who's hitting 399 because that's just friggin' cool.
Have you gotten all your restaurant recommendations? Is there anything else you need? Because we've got a lot of people, whether you know you're trying to avoid the touristy pizza places or you've got a taste for something in Chicago. Now's the time if you got questions.
Now I think I'm good. I'm staying way away from tourist places. I'm probably not going anywhere near the Loop the whole time, just because why? I've been there 800 times. But we'll see. I'm going to walk around like Ukrainian Village and places like that and see what I find.
That's a great place to start. You're walking around a neighborhood that's got a lot of flavor. So
there's also something that I will sanitize into saying it's called Poop Fountain that I want to see. That's not too terribly far from there. So I've heard great things.
I've never heard of that.
I found it on Atlas Obscura.
It's one of those things.
It's like just some random neighborhood fountain that is in honor of dog doo doo.
Oh, well.
I will expect.
Why not?
I will expect. It's right. It's probably right behind my house. For all I know, at this
game. Look, Craig's ringing the doorbell. Right? Hey, Dan. Right? Do you know that you live by Poop Fountain?
I've been to the top of the Hancock Center and the Sears Tower and stuff before. I don't need to do that, but I want to see Poop Fountain.
I think that you're making the right choices, Craig.
Yep. Enjoy King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. And of course, if you have any emergency needs or anything, please reach out.
Decide that you want to go have dinner on the south side of the city.
And if I need to get bailed out, you two are the ones I'm calling.
Yeah. Mostly Dan, because he's got all the monies. But I would actually show up.
No, he doesn't. He
up.
Sent his daughter to college.
Yeah, that's true. And about to get, and send his son. Yeah.
That's over for that. That's
true.
I actually, come to think of it, I can't bail you.
I'm the one with no kids, so yeah, you should probably call me.
I'm doing the same thing. Why do you think I'm staying out in Ukrainian Village instead of in a nice hotel in the Loop?
And Craig, I don't know how long you're around, but if you want to pop in the studio next week, you know, we're
here. You're more than welcome to make you work for free.
Let's put a pin in that and see. Maybe.
Cool. I like that.
All right, enjoy. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Craig Calcaterra, the Cup of Coffee newsletter, which you can find cupofcoffee.substack.com. It's way, way, way more than baseball.
Yeah, because he's a big geek guy, too.
Music.
I should have asked him
pop
about.
Pop culture, little politics in there. Because you remember, Craig was a lawyer for 15 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of friends, a lot of thoughts, and a lot of things.
Should have asked him about what he thought about Miles Morales, because a lot of people are very, very happy.
I can't wait.
With how that movie turned out.
Can't wait.
Haven't seen it yet, but it's on my list of things to do this week.
Poop Fountain, they say Augusta and Damon?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's about right. Okay. Yeah. I just learned today.
I looked it up. I didn't know about it, but I'm glad Craig is going. Good for him. I don't know if I care to go see it myself, but.
Today I learned. Okay, when we come back, the NFL's got an issue. And I think it's come time for them to make some grand and sweeping proclamations to their own players.
We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, powerhouse pairing, 10 to 2 every day.
On 670 The Score.
Listen, I think we've been very measured in our approach. As you know, we're responding to changes that were made in our country and in the laws. And we obviously are being very consistent with that. But we've, from day one, also said that we want to be very cautious in protecting the integrity of our game. I mean, ultimately, making sure that that's done correctly and that our fans have confidence in that and our partners have confidence in that. But it clearly, for an element of the population, is something they're interested in doing. We want to make sure that whatever is done properly, effectively, and safeguards the game.
Okay, Roger Goodell, you need to have a talk with your players. You need to have a talk with the Players Association. You need to get everybody together again and do the old Mo Howard smack their heads together and get everybody aware that the phone knows where you are. Your phone knows what you're doing.
Geolocation.
And the different books want this on the up and up, and they're going to say, hey, one of your players is, hey, come get your mans, essentially. And the players need to understand this because not enough of them do. We're going to have a trickle here and dribs and drab. You got a new rookie class coming in. You've got to make this crazy clear to them what is okay and what is not okay.
And with Isaiah Rodgers, Florio wrote about it this morning on Pro Football Talk, and I was just sitting there going, wow, this guy thinks he's going to play football again. And I've got some really bad news for him. He's probably not.
You don't think so, ever?
I don't. Hundreds of bets, Dan. Had a nom de plume. Created that so that he could make hundreds of bets, including bets on the Colts.
Yeah, that changes things.
Yep. And now that there's precedent, like what happened with Ridley, it's funny how they kind of showed some lenience to, you were betting, you were walking out of the practice facility when you laid a bet on Alabama versus LSU, you're going to be...
Well, it's not baseball.
Well, yeah, don't do that.
Right.
And I think Alabama baseball actually recovered, and they're now in the Super Regionals. Anyway, they are showing leniency on that where, okay, maybe we didn't make it clear that if you're at the practice facility, it doesn't matter. That counts. But when you're doing it, when you're creating a fake name to do it and wearing a shock G Humpty Hump nose when you're trying to go into these virtual casinos.
I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf. Just walking in, like, Is your name Isaiah Rodgers?
No, my name is Humpty.
Pronounced with a umpty.
Like, get out of here with this stuff, right? This is what he's doing.
Essentially. And your phone knows everything. And it will give everything away. And all the sports books want to tell on you because they don't want their business screwed up by you being an idiot.
I wonder what the NFLPA is doing, like, right now. Because I don't think that we're at crisis level yet. But I think we're getting close. Where the NFLPA needs to, and I know I do understand the hypocrisy of what I'm talking about. I get it when it's coming from Dan and I. We have connections to FanDuel and we love FanDuel. I get that the league is dripping in sports betting. They're dripping in it. They're making tons of money on it. Still, the rules are, I think, pretty simple. You want to bet on college stuff? Fine. Do it at your house. Like, don't pull up the app when you're at the facility.
In the parking lot, when you're on your way,
when you're on the team plane.
Yep.
Don't do that.
At a team function.
Don't make that mistake. Once you get home, sure. You want to make a bet on South Carolina women's basketball team? Feel free. But you can't be betting on your team, whether it's to win or to lose. That's how you get got.
and there's a trail. Like, all the information is there, and it's all it's being kept. They, even if you're going using three different layers of pseudonyms, they're going to know who you are and where you were, because all the software is designed to allow for that.
Yeah. So, all right.
Okay.
I am fearful of us hearing about a bear or an ex-bear doing this. Because it just seems like, this is kind of like a story that's slow playing itself.
That's what I mean. That's why Goodell's got to say, by the way, again, if you didn't hear me before, here's what this is. Here's how this is. And he's going to have to continue making examples of guys.
And Isaiah Rodgers is like a good player. And his career's probably over now. Because even if you wanted to reinstate the man, if you wanted to reinstate him after a year-long or an 18-month or two-year suspension, by then the world has passed you by. And are you worth the risk? Are you a great player? If you're a great player, then maybe. If you're just a good player, they will find someone to replace you.
Next up, Dan Wiederer with all the latest Bears news on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!